The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And now, it's time for Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. It must be Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m. or Wednesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. or on twice a week to talk about your career, talk about various aspects of the workplace, aspects of success, aspects of job hunting. How many shows have we done on job hunting? Geez, over the last 40 years, quite a number. I am joined in the booth by Terrell Bush, who is my super intern and turning into a great friend. Terrell, how was your week?
I appreciate that, Scott. And my weekend was good, man. It was a lot of NFL games this weekend, despite my Philadelphia Eagles being taken out the playoffs by Tom Brady. Other than that, everything was good. I did enjoy the weekend. Great slate of NFL games. But other than that, I'm doing very well. How you doing, Scott?
One more reason to hate Brady.
Right, one more reason to hate Brady. Okay.
But anyway, I've actually turned around on him a little bit. He was my arch enemy, you know, but now, ever since he left
New England.
He's been a different guy. He has a different personality. He's still a great ball player, right. And it just shows you he didn't need that other team. I won't mention their name, but he won't need that. He didn't need them. He's still a winner,
right?
You know, so you got to love that. You got to respect that and admire it. So, anyway, I'm sorry about your Eagles.
Yes, quite all right. And
I actually have a funny story. For the last 6 months, I have been putting off getting a new cell phone. Okay. And if you remember the movie Lethal Weapon with Joe Pesci, where he said, they blank you with the cell phones. Well, it's still true. But we don't realize how wrapped up we are in our cell phones.
Absolutely.
When this happened, Terrell, now here's what I put up with, because I didn't want to get a phone so badly. Now, a lot of people are excited. I can't wait to get a new phone. They want the new iPhone. You know, I don't care about any of that stuff. I want a phone that works. So, my phone stopped being able to charge, right? So the wire, the prongs, it was loose, the connecting where it connects. And so I'm sitting there like every night and I'm checking the phone. Is it charging? Is it not charging? So I set up the battery, in the settings to see if it's charging. I'm looking for the lightning bolt. Lightning bolt disappears. So all night long for 6 months, all I did was fret and stress about, is my phone charging? Okay.
Six months.
So I tried to go out and get a new charger, the kind that you just put the phone in, the cradle.
Right.
Don't make it for my phone. Couldn't do it. So that wasn't a fix. So now I'm coming to the realization that I got to get a new phone. It wasn't the money. The phones aren't that much money. It wasn't the money. It was the strain of doing it. Now, as soon as I get the phone, I start getting hit with all kinds of catastrophes. So first of all, you have to sign in to everything you've ever signed into all over again. You got 97 apps, you got to sign into all 97 apps all over again. I thank God Google kind of helps you a little bit.
Yeah,
But in many cases, you had to remember the password, do forgot password, start over again, you know, right. And this is going on. I also have a phone app called Intermedia where my phone's calls that come into the office are forwarded to my cell phone. And that had to be reset. And I didn't even know the password for that. The company did.
Man.
And then we, you know, I have Teams, Microsoft Teams at the office on my phone, right? Had to sign into that with, you know, I mean, again and again, this was a 9-hour nightmare of signing in to various things, setting up passwords, doing your fingerprint sensor. And I used the wrong finger. Because I was comfortable doing it the other way, so I used the pointy finger, but actually you can do this one with your thumb, like where the on button is.
Right, yeah.
So I had to take it out, put it back in, and I'm Googling how do you take it out, put it back in. So I'm telling you, a debacle, a wasted day. There's only 364 days in this year for me.
Right.
Okay, an entire day was wasted setting up my cell phone, and I'm still not comfortable with it. It's making weird sounds. I have to change some tones. But at least it's working and it charges. So last night, in 60 minutes, I charged it from 0 to 60. So that was beautiful. It's got the turbocharger, and you know, hopefully it lasts for a couple.
All
years.
Set to go now.
So anyway, do not give up your phones, folks. You're not going to like what you find. The deals are not as good as they were. The phones are triple the price that you're used to paying.
Yes, they are.
You could pay $2,000 for a phone that 10 years ago you probably paid $200 for. So unbelievable. Plus the supply chain. I couldn't get a cover.
Man.
I couldn't get a screensaver. I couldn't get anything. You know, I had to go to two different stores. I mean, this was a nightmare.
Such a hassle, it seemed.
Okay. We're going to move on from my hassles and your loss of the Eagles to performance. And what is performance? Well, who doesn't want to perform better? Whether you're in sports, you've got a business, you're a person who's a job hunter, you want to perform better on interviews, mm-hmm. you're a sales guy, you want to perform better and have better numbers, you're a business owner, you want your company to perform better, and there's one guy out here, just one, and his name is Dr. Dan Schaefer. He's the CEO of Peak Performance, and we're going to talk about separating yourself from the competition in business, also in sports, preparing for competition, enjoying strategies, the strategies that help you win. If you would, Terrell, tell us a little bit about Dr. Schaefer.
Sure thing, Scott. So Dr. Dan Schaefer, CEO of Peak Performance, works with people in businesses, sports, and entertainment who are often alone at the top. Peak Performance Strategies, LLC, is an organization dedicated to assisting individuals and companies in achieving the competitive edge quickly through enhancing both personal and performance business performance. Clients include professional athletes, performers, and executives throughout the United States, Asia, South America, and Europe. They describe PPS as street smart strategies for competitive edge. Dr. Dan Schaefer, PhD, is noted performance consultant, author, speaker, and executive strategist. He is a guest faculty member of the College of Physicians and Surgeons, Columbia University, and the graduate schools of New York University, Adelphi University, Hofstra University, and Rutgers.
All right, excellent. Dan, welcome to Radio Jobline.
Thank you very much for the invitation, Scott. Terrell, thank you for all the help you gave me getting all this together. And Scott, since you hire people, I think you need to hire a 12-year-old for your phone.
You're right. You're right, because it took me too long, right? I should have been able to do all that.
5 minutes.
Yeah. The phones today, though, I'm telling you, just walk into a phone store, get a new phone, and then give me a call, and we'll talk about it on the air. Okay.
Okay.
It's a disaster, you know, particularly with the supply chain issues that are going on right now. But I won't go into that any further, Dan. I don't want to waste people's time with my phone issues. I want to talk about Peak Performance. You know, Dan, just about everybody wants to perform better. Whether you're an individual or a company, it doesn't matter. Performance is one of these things we all want to do. I mean, we all wake up every day and we say, how can we be better? How can we be faster? How can we be smarter? How can we be more lucrative deals? How can we make more money? So what you're going to say really appeals to every member of every audience that you could possibly have on a radio station, Dan. So we're hanging on every word here. Tell us, what is the issue with performance? Why don't people perform well? Why don't people just get right out of college and know how to perform? What is all this soft white underbelly of the performance world?
Well, you know, it's a great question and something that people ask, but frequently they ask it to themselves.
Mm.
And the question is that how do I get my A game up and how do I deliver my A game and how do I explain to somebody what the A game is?
Okay. So,
you know, coming back to getting out of college, I'm dealing with people right now getting ready to go to college, to put athletes who are trying to get scholarships and work that way. And it's communication strategies. How do you communicate with somebody? How do you talk to somebody? But one of the biggest issues that I've found working globally with Hewlett Packard, for example, is people who are at the very top of their game are alone at the top. They don't have anybody they can ask questions to. And so they really enjoy the covert aspects of my practice where I had two calls this morning, Scott, that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting people to be able to talk about what they do. But at the end of the day, people lack a target. Where do I want to be? What do I want to do? And also, it's very difficult for people to identify what they do well.
Mm.
So it's hard to sell yourself if you don't know what you do well.
Well, I mean, we're all born with skills that we think we know, Dan. We think we know what we're good at. But that it isn't necessarily always the same thing as the facts. You know, we give exercises when people lose their jobs of what were your biggest accomplishments in life? So you have four big accomplishments, and we find that people tend to use the same skills in all of the accomplishments that they've made. And I did this exercise myself, and it worked pretty well for me. So there are ways to identify your skills, but assuming that we don't know how to identify our skills, maybe we should start there, Dan. How do you do it?
Well, what I do is I have a system. I wrote a book about it. It's called Click, The Competitive Edge.
Mm-hmm.
Darrell talked about that when he introduced me.
Right.
And it's something that I take people, every one of my clients today is out in 2027 working backwards. Where do you see yourself in 2027? This is not goal setting now. This is dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
What's your dream? Because we start to use the subconscious mind just the way an athlete does, where you establish the dream, and then we look backwards in 2027 for anything that could possibly disrupt or derail your plan. And I think it's very important for people to understand what they can do to derail.
All right, we'll give you some examples.
Okay. One of the things I talk about is mistakes, that people really today are selling mistakes, telling people the things that they avoid that they're not going to let them do. So you take a person I have an attorney client who said to me, you know, he said, let me tell you about the $350,000 handshake.
Yeah, let's hear more about that.
Yeah. He said, I have a client right now who started a partnership 15 years ago with his best friend on a handshake.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided, because they were such good friends, that they would not gain any legal documents, put any legal documents together, make this happen. He says that now the business is coming apart. They're starting to dissolve it, and it's going to cost my client $350,000 to get out of this deal.
Mm, an expensive
handshake. The question I ask people, and everybody that's listening to this program,
mm-hmm.
can do the same thing. You make a list of the mistakes that your clients made before they became your client, and what it costs them in money, emotion, or reputation.
Okay.
And then we have a way to take those mistakes, this mistakes list, and help you to market those mistakes, because there's a dynamic that plays in with us, with everything you do with recruiting, and it's called short-term discomfort versus long-term regret. I may not want to deal with Scott now, but I'll tell you what I really don't want. I don't want to be in 2027 looking backwards, saying I wish I'd called him sooner.
Right. So because of that, you're asking people to consider what's it going to look like in a few years from now if you don't take action.
Exactly. So it's less hire Scott, and it's more I don't want to not hire Scott.
Okay. Okay. Now that does happen with us too, because a lot of people do not hire an executive search firm because they feel that it's just not appropriate. It's too expensive. You know, I'm a small company. I don't need it. There's all kinds of excuses that people would come up with for not doing it. So is that what they need to do? Is look at the excuses?
I think that what they need to do is look at the cost of not having the person they need in place.
Mm-hmm.
Done this with a couple of government agencies where the guy who was at the very top of a division said, I need three people to fill these slots to keep the momentum going for my projects. And HR could not get him the right people. And so we found a way for him to get the right people. But at the end of the day, you think about the guy at the top who needs the people that you supply to him,
mm-hmm.
and who doesn't get it. Does he sleep at night? Is he concerned about it? And is his productivity and his future dependent on you getting him the right people or him asking you the right questions?
You know, I saw something just yesterday in the news about CEOs saying that the number one thing they spend their time doing, the most important thing and the thing that takes the most amount of time, is finding the right people to work for them.
Exactly. And now the question is this. Do you go out and find the right person yourself, or do you hire people whose business and focus and experience is in finding you the right people? That's the difference between somebody trying to do it without you or doing it with you.
Okay, so let me throw this at you. So now the person said, well, I'd love to hire a staffing firm, but I can't afford it.
Well, I would wonder what the numbers are of what's not happening in this company. And one of the questions I ask people all the time, Scott, is what do you need to have happen right now that's not happening?
Okay.
And what's in the way of making that happen? So if they don't have the resources, then they have to come up with a way to do that. They may have to network. They may have to ask, search themselves. But if they put the number down that it's going to cost them, so you don't have somebody for a month. Mm-hmm. You don't have somebody for 6 months, or you have the wrong person in after a year. How much money is it costing you not to have the right person in the right place at the right time?
Oh, it's so expensive to hire the wrong person, Dan.
Well, Scott, I would love you to send me the numbers.
Yeah.
Because I could use these numbers in a heartbeat.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're a little bit variable, but the fact is you got benefits too. So it's all the money that you paid, all the benefits that you gave, all the time that you gave for training, and also right. recruiting. And because
right.
your time, if you're the CEO of a company, your time has value. It has monetary value. So if you add those three or four factors up, it's probably exceptionally expensive.
Absolutely. So it's like a guy who runs a huge corporation deciding he's going to do his own bookkeeping.
Mm.
Or he's going to do his own recruiting. When he could spend his time, when you could do for him and allow, you know, I have some people in your position that recruit people, and I say, what do you really do for somebody? And the guy said, well, we recruit. I said, I don't think so. I think that you are a bottle of Ambien, a prescription for Ambien,
mm-hmm.
for Advil. Guy sleeps all night.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have a problem with headaches.
Hmm.
That's what you do. What do you take? So you're coming to somebody and saying, listen, we know all the mistakes that somebody can make in trying to recruit somebody. You retain us, we're not going to let you make those mistakes.
Hmm. Yeah, and it works pretty much quite often, except when the economy is really bad and then people don't claim they don't have the money. So it's very difficult sometimes to get people to move off the dime if they just don't have the funds. You know,
that's true.
So would you recommend that they borrow the money in order to avoid this giant regret that they may have?
That's something that I don't go into. I don't deal a lot with finances. There's people who do business strategy that I work with and financial strategies that could advise people on their ability to pay back.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that going into debt in this period of time is probably not the best thing to do.
Yeah.
So maybe they have to develop a strategy. Maybe they have to find another way to reach out and find the people they want. Because, you know, I've heard people talk about using LinkedIn. LinkedIn doesn't work for me, Scott, because people really want confidentiality, and there's not too much confidentiality on LinkedIn.
Mm, interesting.
You know? So yeah. if somebody's not likely to, you know, when somebody said to me, do you use social media to grow your business? There's very few people that are going to sit down on Google and type in what I do.
Right.
They don't do that. And they don't want to be connected to it. So that's why most of the people, probably 98% of the people I work with, never ever talk about what we do.
Mm. Interesting.
You know, I had a guy who, you know for years that I've helped golfers knock strokes at their golf game using a hypnotic strategy. So I had a guy call me and he said, you know, could you help me in my office? So I went into his office. I had no idea who he was. When I got there, I knew who he was. He pushes all the golf stuff off the table. And he says, I'm in the middle of one of the biggest mergers and acquisitions going on in the country today. He said, I've got 3 months to persuade three guys that I'm the guy to run the company. We put the program together. We worked together. He set up discussions he would have with people. And then he gets the job. He gets the position. And then we go out to dinner, and I said to him, do you know anybody in the same situation that you're in? Absolutely. He said, will you refer me? He says, no. He says, I can't tell anybody about you.
Just what you wanted to hear.
That's what I've had that on the sports side.
Right.
I have a client who's a ultra marathon runner and also a MMA cage fighter. She's 55 when she had her first professional fight in Atlantic City. Mm. And then she's fighting in a fight in Oregon. And we worked for 3 weeks over the phone to help her with putting her in the ring before she ever got there. Mm. And she wins the fight in 49 seconds.
Mm.
And the ring announcer says, what do you attribute your success to? She talked about her trainer, her coach, her family, and all that. He says, Jody, you never mentioned me. She said, do you think I'm giving your name to somebody I'm going to fight in 2 months?
Right, right, right. Sounds a little bit like Million Dollar Baby, actually,
But you know what it is? All of these dynamics, Scott, really are invisible. So frequently people have obstacles to get in their way of accomplishing what you're suggesting they do, and they operate on myths.
Yeah. All right, hold on. Let's put a bookmark right there with myths, because we got a news break coming up. You're listening to Scott Possessor and Terrell Bush on Radio Jobline. Today we have Dan Schaefer, a most interesting and knowledgeable person having to do with peak performance. If you're trying to be better at what you do, whether it's golf or sports or football or betting or business or, you know, running a company, this is a show you should be paying attention to. We'll give you all the contact information also for Dan at the end of the show. Stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back.
And now, welcome back to Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on LI News Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor and super intern Terrell Bush. We're talking about peak performance today with a true expert to spend his life doing this, Dr. Dan Schaefer, the CEO of Peak Performance. He's an author. We're going to get all the information about Dan and the books he's read and the company he runs toward the end of the show. But just before we went to the break, Dan, we were starting to talk about myths. And right. And I think you're onto something very big here, because there's so many myths in business. Why don't you tell us what you got for that one?
On my website is a presentation that I did for IFMA on the cost of myths. I look at how much does it cost an individual or a company to operate on myths. One of the ones at the top of that is the 30-second elevator pitch. You really psychologically don't have 30 seconds to go through what you do when you meet somebody initially. Mm. You really only have 6 seconds. And so how do you take your presentation of yourself, what you do, and how you can help somebody, and get it into a 6-second pitch to break the internal narrative that's going on in somebody's brain as you're talking about what you do? So, you know, the conversation goes, you know, Scott, what do you do? Well, you know, you laugh a little and you say, I sell mistakes. I'm in recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to walk away from you. What do you mean you sell mistakes? Who would want to buy mistakes? Anybody who doesn't want to make one. It's a lot less expensive to buy somebody else's mistakes than it is to make your own.
So you're saying that's a cool 6-second opener.
It is, because just anybody on this call, once you figure out what mistakes you prevent people from making, then you go back and you try that with somebody, no matter where you are. Watch their eyes when you tell them that. Mm. Watch how many people say, who would want to buy a mistake? Well, you know, people today are coming out and selling solutions. Everybody's selling a solution. Well, my belief is that if you buy the mistake first and don't make it, you don't have to pay for the solution.
Mm, very interesting. All right, put a bookmark in there, too, because Terrell has some business to do. Terrell?
Boosting personal brands, careers, and connections, BizShout. Socially promote yourself or your business is a next-generation platform for promoting and advertising that offers people, businesses, and brands a new business casual culture. This collaboration will feature maximizing content across several platforms with the freedom of reach to stretch conversations and prosperity through their marketing shouts. For the first add-on service, they designed a creative resume to help job seekers potentially land their dream job 5 times greater. This is achieved by showcasing elevator pitches, demonstration videos, podcasts, and blogging to further prove their value. Additionally, candidates can be discovered in a targeted database and can add their creative resume link to the traditional resume for boosting. Joining BizShout and designing a creative resume are free at BizShout.com, spelled with two Z's. Build one today to land your dream job.
Thank you, Terrell. And I want to get back, Dan, to something you just said. During the six-second open you just gave me, I think you said, I sell mistakes, I do staffing, or should you be saying, I sell the antidote to mistakes?
No, I would just say I sell mistakes because you want the conversation to keep going.
Mm.
You know, I just suggest the people that I'm working with who are using this very successfully are just astounded at what happens when they say that to somebody. Because, you see, all of the conversation that's going on is invisible. There's an internal narrative that's going on. So when you say, for example, I do staffing, I do recruiting. Well, the person goes, I know somebody who does staffing. I'm in a networking group with somebody who does staffing. And a narrative is going on while you're talking about what you do. The goal is how do you strategically break that narrative so that somebody will come back to you and say, wait a minute. What are you talking about here? And then the conversation starts. You need to have a list of mistakes like my $350,000 handshake,
mm-hmm.
or the divorce attorney who said to me, a guy called me up, he said, I'm coming in Monday morning to sign your papers and retain you to handle my divorce. And a lawyer said to him, this Friday night, he says, don't talk to anybody. I said, just the way you said that to me tells me that he talked to somebody. He said, yes, he did, and it cost him $200,000.
Mm.
One call on a Friday.
Hmm.
So I'm sure that you and the people at your company could write a book on the mistakes that people have made and what it costs them. So, you know, it really comes back down to the psychology of this, what's invisible, how this stuff operates, what gets in people's way.
Well, I really like the six-second approach there. I mean, that stuck with me. You have other things like that, Dan? Practical things that we can do to make sure that you're more successful?
Sure, absolutely. Try this. Let everybody on the call sit up straight in your chair. And now start to move your right foot clockwise, round and round, round and round, round and round. And while your right foot is going clockwise, with your right hand, draw a big number six in the air. See your foot go back?
I'm feeling like wax on, wax off here.
Just follow the instructions, Scott. That's all.
I'm doing the best I can. All right, so my foot stopped when I drew the circle.
You start your right foot going clockwise.
Mm-hmm.
And while your right foot is going clockwise, with your right hand, you draw a big number six in the air.
All right.
When you do that, your foot goes backward.
It does.
And what does that tell you? That tells you that you can't afford one second of distraction.
Huh.
Talk to a hockey goaltender. Talk to a golfer. Talk to a football player. I mean, you probably know. Chad Pennington is my client since 2005. I work with high performing athletes. They cannot afford distraction. So the question is how do you identify and control distractions? That's one of the big things on the wish list that people come up with.
Right.
I want to control distraction. The other thing that goes on is the way people talk to themselves. I would say to you, Scott, what does Scott hear Scott saying to Scott when Scott overhears Scott talking to Scott? If it's positive, fine. But if it's negative, it contaminates performance. It knocks you off your A game.
You know, it's so true because I actually discussed this with my candidates too. First of all, I'm all over them. Never say anything negative about anyone ever on a job interview. So that's the first thing, because people will say, well, why do you want to leave your job? Well, I'm not getting along with my boss. I mean, perfect answer, it's career suicide to give certain answers. And that's one of them. But we also talk about the negative self-talk and how that can kill you. If people keep saying, I'm never going to get this job. I'm never going to get this job. I'm never going to get this job. And then they go on the interview. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and they don't get the job.
You know why?
Tell me.
Let's talk about the Patriots and the Giants.
If we must.
Played the Giants, and I know how much you love the Patriots.
Right.
The Patriots played the Giants in the first Super Bowl. Somebody said to me, who do you think is going to win? I said, I think the Patriots are going to find a way to lose the game. And somebody said, how could you say that? They had 18 straight wins.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, because my belief is that coming into this game with the Giants saying, we don't want to lose. All their performance is in their subconscious mind, and the subconscious mind never hears a negative command.
Mm.
Never hears don't. So you're 100% right. You don't want to go into a situation saying, I don't want to screw up this interview. But one of the things that comes back, if we look at what happens with sports, how many people are really preparing for an interview? How many people are preparing to compete? How many people are comparing the way a professional athlete prepares to compete?
Well, you could easily say, for example, Dan, you could say, I got a good fastball, but I have a lousy curveball. You know,
okay.
So if you keep defiling your own curveball, it's no good.
Well, but you know, now I'm glad you're coming back to baseball, because I work with baseball players.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do is the same thing I did with my MMA cage fighter. You can have somebody, just before they go to bed, under a light level of hypnosis, watch themselves pitch the curveball they want.
Mm-hmm.
Over and over and over again. You know what happens? The subconscious mind never knows whether the kid actually threw the ball or whether he thought about it.
Mm.
And so it's a way to practice. It works particularly well with people who have to rehab. I got a couple of people now who are rehabbing in sports. And so for somebody to be able to not go on a football field, but use their playbook that's in their mind to run those plays over and over and over again and walk back out doing almost as well as they did when they left, it's just an amazing strategy. But what happens is, Scott, it's invisible.
Mm.
So the question is that people have, how do I deal with this? And those are the kind of questions that I deal with people on when somebody says to me, this is what I need to have happen. I need to perform better. And a lot of this stuff is invisible.
Well,
but, you know, you talk about, I have a guy who's a client of mine who's a golfer. He runs a huge construction company in the city. And he said to me, you know, he said, I have trouble playing 50 yards in on a golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes. I'm a 12 handicap golfer, but I have trouble 50 yards in sometimes. Well, we discovered that the sometimes that he has trouble is when he's playing against somebody who makes more money than he does.
Mm. Interesting.
So he's making high seven figures, and if he's playing somebody who's much more wealthy than he is, it's an invisible drop-off in performance. It's one thing, Scott, to know when something isn't working and what you're doing and you're not performing well. But when stuff isn't working and you don't know why, who do you talk to?
Mm. Well, you know, you made some great points, Dan, about the subconscious mind. And this has always been a fascination for me. I hear quite often from my subconscious mind when I have dreams, because obviously that's where it's coming from. My brain will fabricate an entire elaborate story, you know, to prove some kind of point, you know, about something I'm stressed about or whatever. But that's when I notice that my subconscious mind is in tune with me. But apparently there's much more to it. How do we affect the subconscious mind and get it to work for us?
Great, great question. Most people operate with it. You see, their conscious mind, your conscious mind is very intelligent. I mean, the last program I did with you had to be 22 years ago on TV. So, you know, you've been very successful at what you do, and your conscious mind is very intelligent, but your subconscious mind is really very smart.
Mm.
It will pick up the stuff that you want to have happen and that you need to have happen, and will drag you toward the dream that you have. You know, Terrell mentioned my book, Click. I tell people, don't read my book. Go to the table of contents, scroll the table of contents, and trust that your subconscious mind will tell you exactly what you need to read for the next thing you're going into.
Mm.
So it's not read the whole book and then put it down. It's open a book before you go into an interview. So if somebody is going in for an interview and that involves their livelihood, their family, how do they prepare for that? You can prepare academically, but you can also prepare psychologically.
All right, let me hit you with this. So let's just spend another sidebar on my subconscious dream, okay? Or the subconscious mind affecting a dream. So no,
I can't even talk to that because I don't deal with dreams and I don't deal in that arena.
But I wasn't going to talk about that. I was going to talk about the fact that they're connected. That your conscious mind and your subconscious mind finally meet during something like a dream. Okay, but the issue that I'm asking is how can we have greater access to our subconscious minds so that we can use its great power to be a better performer?
I use hypnosis to make that happen.
All right, can we talk a little bit about the hypnosis and what you're doing?
Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, so somebody says to me, I want to perform better in court. I have to testify.
Okay.
Now, a lawyer calls you up and says, Scott, you know, you have to testify in court 2 months from now. He goes about his business because he's in court all the time. You, however, don't.
Mm-hmm.
You're going, oh, my God, I have to testify. So is it possible that the closer and closer and closer you get to court, the more relaxed you become? Mm. Absolutely.
Mm.
It's the same way somebody is going in for surgery. The closer and closer and closer they get to the hospital. Same thing with fear of flying. I'm working with somebody now whose business is being affected by their fear of flying. And so how do we get that out of the way?
Mm.
We've done programs for American Airlines at LaGuardia where my associate, who's got a women's only hypnosis practice, took people on a plane and had them click their seatbelt, and the minute they clicked their seatbelt, they became relaxed and comfortable. And nobody could understand why these people were all going into a level of hypnosis just by clicking their seatbelt. But what do they want? My client wants to travel from here to California comfortably.
Right. You know, you might want to spend one more minute on hypnosis, too. I mean, how are you? I grew up in the Borscht Belt in the Catskill Mountains where we had these hypnotists that came on stage and hypnotized you so people could walk across your body and stuff like that. And what that did is convinced an awful lot of people that there's no such thing as hypnosis because it was all a joke. But it sounds like hypnosis is real. And this is a clinically approved thing, hypnosis.
Different approach, Scott. What you're talking about is stage hypnosis, which is very, very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about clinical hypnosis where people use it for significant issues, concentration, focus, elimination of distraction, you know, and learning how to distort time. So somebody will say to me, I was on a project in Singapore, and somebody said to me, my God, you know, we have a 23-hour flight to Singapore. I can't fly for 23 hours. I said, what if we made it 8 hours? That would be better. So you can distort time.
Mm.
So I talked to somebody today who wants to distort time between now and the time they have to go to a national championship. And took them from where we were today into the national championship, watching themselves perform exactly the way they wanted.
Fascinating stuff. Dan, let's talk about some of your books, and I also want to talk about your company and the services that you offer. But let's start with the company, the name of the company, the website, stuff like that.
Peak Performance Strategies. There's the my email address is dan@danshaferphd.com.
Okay.
On the website, danshaferphd.com is information about a lot of these issues. It has the forward to my book from Chad Pennington talking about how he used this to help him with his football career. It comes back down to people who need to perform in a variety of situations and do well. I worked with triathletes. But again, it's people in business because at the end of the day, people want to know what's in my way of getting me where I want and how do I get it out of the way. The first thing you have to do is identify it, and hypnosis can help people identify it very quickly, and it's very safe.
Let's talk about your books. It sounds like you had more than one.
I have two books.
Okay, let's hear.
The first one I wrote in 1986. My family owned 225-year-old businesses in Brooklyn. One was a real estate company, and the other was a funeral service business.
Mm.
I noticed very early on that parents had an enormous amount of difficulty in explaining death to their kids. Mm. So in 1986, I wrote a book called How Do We Tell the Children? Mm. That book, and I started to teach that up at Columbia, College of Physicians and Surgeons. As soon as that book came out, people said, you know, we also need help while somebody in the family is dying to explain to children really what's going on.
What's the secret weapon there, Dan?
Communication and understanding how a child understands, how a child thinks about a different situation based on their age and developmental level. So, for example, let me just finish the whole focus on this. The third edition of the book came out when I was contacted by the Pentagon, and I work with the Pentagon on the impact that, that traumatic loss has on errors, omissions, accidents, and safety.
Okay.
So how do you do? And then it all came together around 9/11. I did some programs for the state of New Jersey. Interestingly enough, a municipality in Jersey wanted to be able to help their municipal leaders deal effectively when losses happened. I did an article on that, and then we came back and talked about it when it was around 9/11.
Right.
But you know, you come back to an interesting thing: somebody's managing people. I had a guy I played golf with who ran a huge drug agency in the city. And this is, God, back in years ago. And he said to me, you know, I should have called you when my controller's sister died because, she, you know, she's not dealing well with people in the office and on the phone, and she's short-tempered. And I said, no, you should have called me the minute her sister, she came to you and said her sister was diagnosed with cancer, because that's when she started to decrease, go down.
Mm.
But basically, the whole thing was, how do you support parents? So I looked at parents who said, you know, I just got called from a hospital. My kid's going to wake up, and I have to tell them that this person in the family died. How do I tell them?
Mm.
And so the question is what words do they use? What language do they use? So there's scripted material in that book, How Do We Tell the Children?
The name of the book again, one more time?
How Do We Tell the Children?
Okay, and is that it? Do we have all the books now?
Oh, the second one is CLICK, C-L-I-C-K, the Competitive Edge. I did some programming on bereavement. I was introduced to a hypnotist who I saw how powerful this was for them. I took a lot of training. I'm not certified to teach people and certify them in hypnosis. I teach all my clients how to hypnotize themselves when they need to. And to control their stress and anxiety. And then why did this book?
All right, we're going to have to put a bookmark here, Dan. We're out of time. You've been listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor. Fantastic job from Dan Schaefer today on Peak Performance. Check him out online. We're going to have Dan back. That was a great segment. We'll be back next week with another show, everybody. Happy hunting.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.